Hello, everyone, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you, wherever you may be. I hope you had a very Merry Christmas. This is Bruce Ash and
Eb Wilkinson.
I am so happy that Eb's here with us, welcoming you to a special year-ending news and review edition of Inside Track. Today's show is all about 2019. Like we did when Franzi hosted Inside Track, we'll talk about the highs and the lows, people in the news who are on the way up, those who may have been brought down, local, national, worldwide, sports, politics, culture, state of our community, the nation, and the world. So feel free to call in to the Corazon Cabinet's live line, 790-2040. We welcome your calls on the year in review 2019. Before I get the shindig going, I want to thank the Franzi family again for allowing us the opportunity to carry on Inside Track and all the great guests we've brought to the show. We try to keep Franzi's passion alive on the show, Inside Track. I want to thank my regular broadcast partner, Eb Wilkinson, for his bravery. Radio is not easy, and you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, a big thanks to Tom Danahy, who and Jim Kelly, who've made great contributions to Inside Track when they filled in for me. Thanks to all of our diverse local, national, and worldwide, even historic guests that you may have heard, and I hope you enjoyed on Inside Track during the past year. I also want to reach out and say thanks to Patty Ruiz and Ray Engineering here at KVOI for putting up with me for another year. And special thanks to Charles Heller, who has worked hard to make this show better, and he's a great coach. And especially to our producer, board operator, and friend, John Couch, who keeps the show. Oh, we just lost the signal. Oh, I'm just kidding. That was a bad shtick, John. That was a bad shtick. I'm sorry.
You should have seen his face.
I very much appreciate and hope you will support all of our Inside Track sponsors, Eb Wilkinson and Gary Imus at Imus Wilkinson Asset Management, Jamie and Gary Kipper at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus, and the folks at Corazon Cabinets, Joy, Jennifer, and David. Each of these advertisers has been with us from the start. They're great companies you should do business with, and I really do mean when I say that, because I do business with each of them. Speaking of local businesses that are great that you should do your bidding with, Corazon Cabinets is your locally owned wholesale one-stop source for high-quality kitchen, bath, and office cabinets, as well as your design services. Do you have a home improvement project planned for the new year? We sell quality J&K, Yorktown, and Conestoga cabinets and a wealth of design resources for your home. Call Corazon Cabinets and schedule a visit to the showroom. Call 488-2266. That's 488-2266. Tell Jennifer or Joy you heard this ad with Bruce and Eb on Inside Track and get an additional 5% discount on their already low wholesale prices. Eb, did you have a chance to meet with Jennifer?
We were all set. She had to change,
ah,
but that's okay. I've got two projects I'm going to be having her work on.
Good.
So it'll be expensive, but it'll be cheap.
Well, actually, using Corazon, it's going to be about 30 or so percent less than what you'd pay anywhere.
Well, the thing that I like is Jennifer said that she'll help with all the design work.
Right.
She'll give ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have her and Joy and maybe David on the show early next year because they're super. And I think once people listen to them and get to know them, they're going to know that dealing with Corazon is much different than dealing at other places. Hey, John, let's go ahead and take our break. And when we come back, we'll do our 2019 year in review. When we return, our producer, John, will take your calls at 790-2040. You're listening to Inside Track. Happy New Year. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Inside Track. This segment sponsored by Tucson Iron and Steel Surplus. 2019 was capped off by Time Magazine's regrettable choice for their person of the year, Greta Thunberg. Really? Hear what Time Magazine said about the climate messiah. Or is it messiahist? She's a young lady. Greta Thunberg, sits in silence in the cabin of the boat that will take her across the Atlantic Ocean. Brad doesn't want to take a plane, does she? Inside, there's a cow's skull hanging on the wall, a faded globe, a child's yellow raincoat. Outside, it's a tempest. Rain pelts the boat. Ice coats the deck, and the sea batters the vessel that will take the slight girl, her father, and a few companions from Virginia to Portugal. For a moment, it's as if Thunberg were in the eye of a hurricane, a pool of resolve at the center of a swirling chaos. In here, she speaks quietly. Out there, the entire world seems to amplify her small voice, screaming along with her. We just can't continue living as if there was no tomorrow, because there is a tomorrow, she says, tugging on the sleeve of her blue sweatshirt. That's all we're saying.
Waiting for the music from Exodus.
Wow. No, from Ten Commandments with the waves parting. Oh, my God. Greta Thunberg is a child being used as a prop by globalists and climate change syncopants looking for a new superhero on the third decade of the 21st century. Martyr? Alarmist? Representing, as Time says, she represents the power of youth, of the youths. Unfortunately, she parrots the same jingoism of the left and really stands for nothing but youth narcissism. I know what it looks like. I was a know-it-all at age 16 myself. Sadly, Miss Thunberg also appears to be a tool of countries like China and India. Did you know, Eb, 24 of the top polluters out of 30 polluters are located in China, India, and Pakistan? Who, despite all of her efforts to crash the economies of North America and Europe with her climate demands, China and India continue to be the biggest polluters in the world today, despite considerable efforts by the United States, most of Europe, Australia, for that matter. We've been living in the end days, according to these people who tell us the world will end in 12 years. Now, Eb, we actually know it's 11 years now. That prediction's a year old. I don't think we got 8% less than, you know, what it was. And one has to ask, how are youth crippled with little knowledge of science, eating up valuable natural resources like it was ice cream themselves, and anxious for all of their creature comforts, will survive in the world that Greta Thunberg wants for us? Person of the year, we'll see where she is in 11 years when she and AOC predict the earth will end, will die. It won't be her who saves us. It'll be the free enterprise system Thunberg and her fellow travelers hate that continues to make progress to deliver cleaner energy and consumers eager to embrace smart conservation. But it won't be because of this teenage drama diva screaming at the world through a bullhorn. My guess is her lefty pal AOC would have probably been her number two in the Time survey this year. They don't publish like a whole 10. They just do the
top
ones.
No, just the number one. Yeah.
Person of the year? Well, okay. And by the way, with AOC's new Green Deal, now at the center of the 2020 Democrat Socialist platform, along with Medicare for All, abolishing ICE and our national borders, taking away our guns, ending the Electoral College, unlimited abortion, and eliminating free speech. We'll see how the American left does in the 2020 election year. Okay, let's look at Time's other persons of the year. Sports, U.S. women's soccer team. Yeah. I'll buy that.
They did well.
Yeah. These women are terrific athletes and competitors. They've been terrific for years. A little mouthy, maybe, but they've certainly put their talents where their mouths are. Kind of don't want to know where their mouths have been. They make our men's soccer program, though, look like a JV team. We may need to edit that out, I suspect. But it's soccer, for Christ's sakes. I hardly give a rip about the NFL, much less soccer. Don't tell anybody, but after professional baseball, My favorite sport is rugby.
That is a real sport.
That's a real man sport.
That is a real sport.
Time's business choice was Bob Iger. This is the guy from Disney. No doubt, I think Bob certainly leads in the entertainment industry. He has spoken about possibly running for president someday. He's a smart guy, very successful. As Donald Trump would say, we'll see. I looked everywhere for criticism about Iger. He's sort of squeaky clean. There was little except for a recent Martin Scorsese dust-up about the fact that Disney has been a bit of a lagger in the streaming game and behind Netflix and Amazon. My grandkids have Disney streaming. I hope they'll use and watch more of the classic Disney more than their recent productions. You know, it's, my wife always says, you can tell a Disney movie or cartoon. There's never a dad, okay? The kids hate their mother and hate their parents in general. And it's just like so un-Walt Disney and Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse sort of stuff. I don't know. Times Entertainment Person of the Year. Lizzo?
No idea who that is.
I'm not sure what a Lizzo is, but I'm also the fellow who pretty much lost interest in music after the Beatles broke up. What a sad day that was. Here's what Time says about Lizzo. Was this the year after nearly a decade on the road, performing shows for next to nothing, living in your car, being your own hype man, that you racked up more Grammy nominations than any other artist? I've been doing positive music for a long-ass time, she says. Then the culture changed. There were lots of things that weren't popular that existed, like body positivity, she's a little heavy, which at first was a form of protest for fat bodies and black women, and has now become trendy, a commercialized thing. Now I've seen it reach into mainstream. Suddenly I'm mainstream, she laughs. How could we have guessed something like this would happen when we've never seen anything like this before? I've never heard of her before, so I guess she is new. Time doesn't report her weight, albeit she's a big woman. If she can sing half as much as she weighs, she might be worth a listen, but watch out. You'll get an F-bomb or a ho-bomb in most songs that I've researched, and I don't know if I can pull that. No, I can't pull that up. Darn it. I really wanted to hear that. Uh-oh, I lost my place here. Hang on one second. Okay, here we go. And finally, Time's Guardians of the Year, the public servants. They highlight Mr. Vindman, Lieutenant Vindman, Colonel Vindman, whatever his title is, Ambassador Voyanovich, and the best of all, the whistleblower. Everyone knows is out there, who heard nothing directly, but have been used by his Democrat socialist handlers to work with them to turn over our elected national leadership. Nice work, Time Magazine. No one reads you anymore, and you're just a pitiful leftist rag in your online. Do they have a print version anymore? I'm not sure. Maybe they do like special editions like this Man of the Year thing or Person of the Year. Let's see what time we got. Okay. Where have you gone, Charles Lindbergh, Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, and Angela Merkel? All these great ones were once Time's Person of the Year before being taken over by the left. Okay, scandals of 2019. Eb, do you remember Jesse Smollett?
Oh, my God, I wish I could forget him.
Yeah. As you may recall, on January 29th, actor Jesse Smollett told police that he was attacked in the early morning at 300 block of East Lower North Water Street. That's a mouthful. In Chicago's city area by two people falsely described as white men who physically attacked him after racial and homophobic slurs, poured an unknown chemical substance, possibly bleach, on him and tied a rope around his neck. On February 20th, 2019, Smollett was indicted for disorderly conduct consisting of allegedly paying two Nigerian-American brothers to stage a fake hate crime assault on him and filing a false police report. Smollett's defense team reached a deal with prosecutors on March 26, 2019, in which all charges were dropped in return for Smollett performing community service and forfeiting his $10,000 bond.
But he still says he was innocent.
He says he's innocent, and on March 27, 2019, it was announced that the FBI would be investigating as to why the charges were dismissed. By the way, anybody who didn't know this, the district attorney, the county attorney for Chicago, was somebody heavily funded by George Soros. I'm not making that up.
Absolutely.
Okay. They did the same thing in San Francisco. They're doing it all through the country. We have a major election here for an open seat for county attorney. I wouldn't be surprised if that Joel Feinman guy gets Soros money.
It depends on who's running against him.
Yeah, that's true. It took a few weeks to unfold Smollett's story, but law enforcement eventually got to the truth. This was a hoax. Smollett figured he could pull the stunt off. After all, it seemed so plausible, didn't it? He might be able to keep his job on Empire. It made perfect sense because he knew the media would jump on it, and they did. They bought the story hook, line, and sinker. What's the next scandal of 2019? The Mueller report. Did anyone get the story right? Not Carl Bernstein, reliving his Watergate celebrity status in January and repeating over the next several months, said Trump helped Putin destabilize the U.S. Wow. Wouldn't you just love to find the deep throat who gave Bernstein that piece of evidence? Okay, when that scheme failed, and it seems like everyone, or Carl, along with Rachel, Anderson, Don Lamone, Fredo, Jim Acosta, Fat Brian, Wolf, Dana, that despicable Chris Hayes at MSNBC, as well as other the other Matthews there, Chris at MSNBC, Moscow Mika at Morning Joe. It seems like 99% of so-called news journalists writing online or in print then jumped on the Ukraine story, saying President Donald Trump was experiencing an unraveling in response to evidence of the president's corruption in a whistleblower complaint.
Wow.
Far from unraveling, it was the House case against President Trump that actually did unravel. Congressional charges from treason, extortion, bribery, lying under oath, selling children into slavery. Now, I made that up just for fun. All of them unraveled into an amorphous obstruction and abuse of power charge that will soon be litigated or not in the U.S. Senate. The charges, which were just 2 weeks ago so pressing, are now stalled by the House Speaker. For what reasons, we don't quite understand. The press has also missed what will certainly become the most important scandal of the first two decades of the 21st century. Once Obamagate is revealed, when the Durham report is filed sometime later this year, later in 2020 probably, the media and liberal critics went ballistic when Donald Trump tweeted that Barack Obama spied on him. CNN tweeted, Trump's baseless wiretap claim and, quote, Trump just flat out lied about wiretapping. Well, guess who was right? Trump again. According to multiple media reports, not on CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post, New York Times, or Network News, officials in the Obama administration had spied on the Trump campaign. They wiretapped Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, both before and after the election. It appears other top Trump aides were also wiretapped, as was Trump Tower. That's why they left Trump Tower during the transition and went to Bedminster and did all the rest of the work there, because they were being spied upon. It appears that the Obama administration was spying on the entire Trump campaign staff. Even if they were listening in only on Manafort, to whom do you think he was speaking to? Trump and every high-ranking member of Trump's campaign staff. Which means while government agents were supposedly listening for criminal activity, they just happened to hear every plan of the Trump campaign. They just happened to know what would be in Trump's speeches. They knew his line of attack versus Hillary. They knew his debate prep. They knew everything Trump was planning before he did it. And that is some valuable inside information.
And he still won.
Now, Obama had the perfect guy to spy on if he wanted to fix an election for Hillary. It was the perfect crime, or so Obama thought, because with all of this inside information on the Trump campaign in the hands of Hillary and her campaign team, she couldn't lose. After all, her easy victory, Hillary would be in control of the Department of Justice, so who would ever investigate or prosecute? Except Trump ruined everything by winning a fixed election against all odds, and now Trump controls the DOJ. Watch out for John Durham and Bob Barr. They're serious. Trump can investigate and prosecute. Obamagate is directly in Trump's crosshairs. Guys like Brennan, a former registered member of the Communist Party. This question never came up in a CIA interview or his top clearance checkout. God, what? I mean, this is big government. It's so stupid. Does this Obamagate game plan sound familiar? Well, it should, because they're exactly the same people who successfully fixed the primaries for Hillary, cheated Bernie Sanders during the primary, gave CNN's presidential debate questions to Hillary in advance, are the same people who used the IRS to destroy Obama's leading media credits and show the Tea Party fundraising and activism to a trickle during the 2012 Obama re-election. Isn't that an attempt to fix the election? These are the same people who are spying on journalists of Fox News, the Associated Press, CBS's Emmy Award-winning correspondent, Cheryl Atkinson, and they're the same people who unmasked Trump advisors and transition officials. Samantha Powers was unmasking names at an unheard speed of 200 people that she unmasked, which her defense was, well, somebody else did it under her name. God, these people are so unlawful. This is Obamagate, and it makes Watergate look like child's play. When we come back, we'll finish up on our scandals, and we'll go to some of the real news, the big news of 2019. You're listening to Inside Track. Evan Brucer here. Coming right back. Welcome back to Inside Track. This is our 2019 year in review show. We just covered the time list and some of the scandals of 2019. Hey, Jeffrey Epstein's suicide?
Yeah, just like my Christmas lights. Didn't hang himself.
Wow. It was the first recorded suicide at the MCC in 13 years. Epstein was taken off suicide watch just 6 days after a prior event, and guards on duty did not perform the required inmate checks for the wing Epstein was housed in, among other details. This, along with his known associations with many rich and powerful people, led some to believe Epstein was either murdered or was assisted in committing suicide.
Shocked.
Yeah, now they're after the madam. That should be interesting. Other scandals of the year, the college admission scandal. We got a couple of movie stars that have gone to jail and some other very wealthy people.
And I'm actually surprised about that.
I know. Yeah, well, justice is, you know, the worm turns. The Purdue Pharma and Sackler family implicated in the opioid crisis. Now billions of dollars going from the Sackler families to help fund. So something good came out of that scandal in order to help all the folks that are suffering with the opioid crisis here in this country. The Baltimore mayor resigns amid self-dealing. That's a big scandal there. I think she's the third mayor out of the last four who has resigned or gone to jail during the term. And there hasn't been a Republican mayor in Baltimore City since 1947.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's why the
And Trump was absolutely correct in calling it a shithole.
A shithole, that's right. That's right. Then we've got the Ilhan Omar divorce affair allegation. Oh, before we talk about that.
The gal that married her brother?
Yeah.
And then divorced her brother.
Right.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Freshman congressional representative from Minnesota's 5th District filed for divorce from her husband, husband, in early October 2019. The two have 3 children together, were first married in 2002, only to separate in 08 and then remarry in 18. The divorce comes amid allegations Representative Omar had an affair with Tim Minette, a D.C.-based political consultant, on Omar's payroll. All right. Hey, we have a caller into the show. Greg, you're on Inside Track with Bruce and Eb. What's on your mind? Have you heard anything here that stimulates you a little?
You nailed it, Bruce. You touched on the local race this year for county attorney, and this little Joel Fineman character, I can attest to the fact that we need to support whomever runs against him, because for the $130,000, $140,000 he's getting a year, he's doing nothing but trying to promote himself. And while that happens, these people that work at the public defender's office are getting away with signing off. You know, you go buy a used car, and the guy says, listen, this is just the most fun. I've never seen a deal like this. You got to take this deal. And that's what these attorneys are telling these defendants, who may be innocent, by the way. And for that reason, I just think he needs to be looked into. But also, you mentioned Cheryl Atkinson. You don't hear her name a lot. I'm glad you mentioned her, Bruce. She's got a lawsuit against Eric Holder and the Justice Department for the way they got into her computers at home when she was working at CBS. I'll wrap it up this way. If there was any corruption the last 3.5 years, it had nothing to do with our president. It had to do with, as you know, the Obama administration. So thanks for this list you're putting out there.
Thanks very much, Greg, and Happy New Year to you. Blackface scandals, Trudeau and Governor Northam. I mean,
and once again, getting a pass.
Right. okay. Let's see what the media does with all this, and when it's over, let's see what the resistance looks like, or what the future addresses will be of some of these seditionists like Brennan, Clapper, Comey, McCabe, Strzok. Ugh. All right. Let's look at some of the biggest stories which occupied and occurred in 2019. So far, there are only about 3.5 days still left in the year. And note, these are my big stories. None of that crap from AP or CNN coming up with theirs. These are stories that impact us. Comment or critique as you wish. Call into 790-2040, 790-2040. We'll take your call. We'll talk. Nationally, the biggest story probably has to be the Mueller report dud and congressional impeachment, both interrelated, although some congressional leaders and perhaps others convinced they will not succeed on their obstruction and abuse of power articles have already announced if the current charges don't stick, they'll open new hearings, possibly impeach on new charges.
So let me ask you a question about that.
Yeah.
The House votes to impeach.
Yeah.
They don't send anything up to the Senate.
Right.
Is he impeached yet or no?
He's impeached when they
took the vote?
When they took the vote.
Okay.
Right. And impeachment is different from the trial, which takes place in the Senate, right?
But the trial can't take place.
Yeah, it's almost like an indictment, okay? And I'm using legal terms that I probably shouldn't, but it is sort of similar to an indictment that ends up getting tried in the Senate.
So why would they not have, or why did Nancy Pelosi not send this up to the Senate yet?
Well, I've said before, I think I said in my commentary last week, Eb, that I think what she's doing is they're stalling. They're trying to play the clock out. They want to get more evidence, more stuff maybe that they find. That's why they keep talking about these additional witnesses and all kinds of different people coming in and testifying. They're looking for new stuff. And I'm not sure that they're going to find it, and I'm not sure that any of that is ever going to be litigated in the U.S. Senate.
Well, it's kind of like when Schiff was reading the transcripts from the call.
Right.
And then figuring that Trump would not release those at all.
Right.
Trump immediately releases them. You never hear a word about that.
No.
Nothing.
No. Well, that's the way it is. Look, my advice to Madam Pelosi is please bring new hearings. Once this other thing gets put put to bed, all the hearings you'd like to hold, do them all. Bring it on all the way until the next general election. It's a perfect formula for success in the election, along with one of the goofball candidates that are probably going to end up being the Democrat Socialist nominee. The next big story in the USA, and you kind of know something about this, is the U.S. economy. Ebb has participated. He's a wealth manager here in Tucson, very successful. Stock market up nearly 22% this year. Unemployment at 50-year lows. Employment for blacks, Hispanics, females, Asians, youth have never been higher. Job participation at all-time highs. Wages way up over inflation. Consumer spending up. Inflation and interest rates low. True that when the economy is so hot, the only direction ultimately is to go down. But with China trade talks having reached a point where tariffs are starting to come off, and not only a China trade deal, USMCA, and a new British trade deal in the works, new technology breakthroughs, I think the future is bright, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It's like I said a couple of months ago on this show. There will be the trade talks. You know, there will be tariff release. There has to be.
Yeah. You know. Well, and it's starting to happen. You know, they're still working on the intellectual properties part in kind of a major sort of way. They're not there yet, but they are making progress there.
But
as
the
well.
Little amounts that they're making that get released,
right.
The market responds right. Accordingly.
Yeah, this is a lot more than kind of a usual Santa Claus rally. This rally's been going on all year long.
This is huge.
Yeah, I think the market closed over 28,600 the other
day. It did.
And NASDAQ over 9,000
for
new the
high.
First time. Unbelievable. Immigration, the next big story. Isn't it time the U.S. starts enforcing the laws? Enforcing the laws we already have and funding the wall which Congress authorized being built over a decade that has passed. This year saw an illegal entry crisis of historic proportion, a crisis of human suffering created by the cartels who knew revenue source of trafficking humans also had an added benefit by diverting border and drug agents from important narcotic interdiction, spreading their pain even further in this country. And it's the Democrat socialists who have abetted the cartels and prevented the president from securing the border with a barrier, virtual or real.
I was talking to a Border Patrol agent the other day. He said he's working down at the border at night, women and children walking across. 100. They used to hide. Now they walk up, knock on the window, saying, "We're here."
Right. Yeah. I'm asking for asylum.
Yeah. They don't try and get away. They are turning themselves in.
Right.
They are hunting for the Border Patrol agents.
Right. It's amazing. Amazing. Sean Hoffein is a caller. He also has a great radio show here on Sundays. Sean, what's on your mind, brother? There's always something on your mind, isn't there?
Hopefully. I'm not a mind dumb robot out here. But
no, you're not.
I gotta ask, and thank you very much. Merry Christmas to all, and happy everything to everybody in the audience.
Merry, merry, happy, happy,
happy, happy. We like to be. But I gotta ask you, Eb. You were talking about when you talk about the market and talk about finances, and of course it's a political thing. But do you in a financial, you know, like in your situation, do you ever look at the amount of money that's pumped in from the Fed,
yes,
and the amount of debt that we're creating,
yes,
to create that what I consider to be a bubble, and I'll let you speak.
Yes, we do.
Thanks, Sean.
Look, here's the thing. Right now, yeah, is the Fed pumping in money? Yes, they are. Be that as it may, your quality companies out there that still manufacture goods and services and deliver those goods and services at a profit to the company are still a great investment. That doesn't mean that every company out there is a great investment, but there are quality companies out there. I mean, you and I have talked about this before.
Sean?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I what me and you talk about, I sometimes bring up on the air, but I like you as somebody that gets, you get your living from this. Do you consider it to be any kind of danger to the U.S. economy that there's this much debt being created?
There's always a danger, number one. Number two, I will tell you that Trump really is working to try and eliminate that.
The debt?
The crisis, yeah. I mean, look, you get more businesses pumping in more tax money, you know, it will resolve itself over time, as long as the Fed plays well with others.
And central banks all over the globe are printing more money than have ever been tried since the Roman Republic.
That's correct. And yet we are still the cleanest dirty shirt in laundry.
I appreciate that. And to the audience, I'm not anti-American. I'm just I don't like printed, created debt, which is currency, right?
Well, and like I've told you, what's the one thing I tell people when I start working with them? Get out of debt.
Yeah.
Do not have any debt at all. If you're going to have a home mortgage, it better not be longer than 15 years.
Yeah. And I think in business, we find the same thing in the real estate business. We want to get our debt paid down as fast as we can. And you know, Dave Ramsey says it very well on this station and across the country every day. You know, that elimination of debt is a big deal. Sean, I got to run.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you very
much. Thanks,
Sean. I appreciate that, Ed. Hey, you guys have a great New Year.
Great, thanks, Sean.
Listen to you later. Hey, the other big news this year is freedom. In 2019, demonstrations around the world, both peaceful and violent, were set off by social unrest over economic instability, government corruption, and inequality. The protests created a domino event, crossing borders and bringing droves of people to the streets globally to demand change. Freedom came back in 2019. It's a top story, not just in Hong Kong, where mostly unarmed citizens have stood up against the Red Chinese police and paramilitary, but they recently won an overwhelming majority in local council elections. Their demands stay in place. We've talked on this show with some of their leaders and influence makers from there. Dennis Kwok will return to the show soon and give us the inside track on what's going on there. It's amazing. The whole thing in Hong Kong turning around and the you know, the communists don't know whether to, you know, what, or bake an apple pie.
No, they're befuddled at this moment.
Yeah. Hey, we have John calling in on city sanctuary law. We hadn't got down to the city level, but John, fire away, man.
Okay, thank you. I was just wondering if there's like a federal law against cities calling themselves a sanctuary city.
There is.
There is.
Yep. And it's not, and unfortunately, it's not enforced.
Yeah, like a lot of other things, huh?
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I make, you know, I call spade a spade. I mean, you know, the federal government, we have laws that if, on immigration particularly, John, that if they just enforce the laws, we don't need new laws. We need the current laws that are in place to be observed. We need to reflect the will of the government and the people who elected that government to follow the laws, and it's not being done.
There's some reason why they're not enforcing the laws. I'm not sure what that is, but yeah, I know we have good laws, but they're not enforced.
What else on your mind?
That was pretty much it. Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you.
Thank you for the answer.
Yeah. Hey, we see unrest in several countries. Britain, for one, the landslide victory over the UK Red Labour Party sent a devastating message that Britons want freedom from EU autocrats and from the dead-enders who, like here in the US, have made the lives of people that they're supposed to serve worse, not better. Britain will be an even bigger trading partner with the US and one that we can always depend upon. I think so. Results in places like Iran, Iraq, Syria, Venezuela are not so good, and the struggle for freedom continues. South America, it is not only Venezuela, which has deprived people of their freedom and wealth, but Chile, where riots have rocked that country for several weeks now. There's unrest also in Colombia, Bolivia, where their indigenous president, Evo Morales, was forced to resign and flee the country that he led for a decade or so. French protesters have forced the Macron government to make changes without bloodshed. What's going on in Iran right now is rarely reported, but it is revolutionary. And that government, the prime minister resigned in November. There's lots of unrest there. People are pissed off. This Islamic government has done no goods. Okay. We're up against the clock here. Let's go to Arizona, okay? The big news for the decade, the Gifford shooting. had a profound impact on Arizona. First impact was a new move for more gun restrictions led by her spaceman husband, who's been using Ms. Giffords as a prop to promote his so-called responsible gun safety measures. Now he's running for Senate, for crying out loud.
It's crazy.
You know? In any case, anyone hearing this broadcast believes anything said here that I've said about Ms. Giffords might not be kind. Let me just say, I've always admired and respected her. She was a great public servant and a gracious lady. If Gabby were running for U.S. Senate or Arizona governor, it might be a different story. But the spaceman, who has a weak resume to begin with, is trying to gravy train himself to become a member of the U.S. Senate and doing it on the gun control issue. And that is a loser here in the state. Also, the big news over the past decade here in Arizona, the housing market recovers. We finally got back in 2018 to 2006 levels, and the available inventory is low, and the prices are going up. Okay, all wrapped up, Arizona immigration just as key an issue over the past decade as nationally. SB 1070, Joe Arpaio, Sheriff Joe was a patriot. He upheld the law. He's been in the middle of immigration discussions only because he was upholding the law. I once had lunch with Joe, and he said, you know, they passed laws that they expected law enforcement officials to pass. If they didn't want me to enforce those laws,
don't pass the
then
law.
They shouldn't have passed the law. I was doing what they asked me to do. So don't criticize me. If you want to change, go to the legislature and make a change. The fact of the matter is the will of the people in Arizona has been for the type of restrictions that have come with SB 1070 and plenty of other laws passed by the feds as well as on the state level. Brian Terry's death also involved in the whole immigration thing, but also more of the Obama.
Also the gun running.
Bad government gun running. And
Operation Fast and Furious.
All the nefarious stuff that
and Eric Holder's nightmare.
And they tried to withhold, they obstructed, they obfuscated. They talk about Trump. There are tens of thousands of documents that were never revealed by the Obama administration, and Eric Holder's a gangster. A gangster.
Absolutely.
And now he's playing in redistricting around the country, because if he couldn't do it one way, he's going to try to get control through redistricting as well.
And it was one of his guns that he let walk across the border that was responsible for Brian Terry's death.
Yep, it sure was. Also, in Arizona news, the other big news, fires, natural resource disasters, the Wallow Fire, the Yarnell Hill Fire, which killed 19 Granite Mountain hotshots, was just a huge tragedy for the state and for those families. The VA medical crisis, it really started right here in Arizona, up on Van Buren
Yes.
Phoenix. And through that, the Obama administration did make some improvements. John McCain was responsible for some of those while he was still alive. And now the Trump administration really cleaning up the VA, putting a lot more money into investing in the lives of our veterans.
As they should.
You bet. You're a vet, and I'm sure you appreciate
Yes.
that as well. John, do we have another call? All right, we'll take another call. Who we got?
Hey, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark. Hey, thanks for calling. How you doing? Merry Christmas.
And Hanukkah Sameach and all the good
Thank
stuff.
Thank you. That's good. That's good stuff. You actually were able Yeah. to say the
Okay. Anyway, running out of time, I know. So here we are. Two major problems for Southern Arizona. We have Space Cadet trying to become senator.
Right.
And I hear so very many right-sided people, conservatives, saying they're not going to support the candidate against of the Space Cadet, which just pisses me off beyond no end.
Yeah,
so they
sure
want
does.
To allow the Space Cadet to get in to win, just to show them and say, "See, this is what happens to you." And then we also have in Southern Arizona,
real quick,
the stupidest mayor that Tucson has ever had in its history. And so we're going to go down the drain. We've already been circling the drain for so many years, and now we're going to go down the drain.
Mark, thanks very much. And that's going to do it for the show today. I tried to pack about 13 pounds of crap into a 4-pound bag, and we've managed to run over. In the upcoming new year, I hope you'll continue to support our great advertisers, Imus Wilkinson Asset Management, Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus, and Corazon Cabinets. Each of these companies is well run. They're local family businesses, and all the profits stay in Tucson to help our community. I know each of these owners. They love our hometown, like Ebb, and they deserve our support. And if I could, let me just get a real quick word in for Reefs Across America. They came up short. They really need some additional bucks. If you could give some bucks there, it is www.wreathsacrossamerica.org. Also, we had Sister Jose, we had Gap Ministries, we had Lugo Charities that we gave at the office and here on the show. Sister Jose Shelter is a great local group for you to support. Gap Ministries, TN Diana, oh man, she's just awesome. Jesse Lugo's Bike in a Box. Don't wait until next year. Do it now. 95% of all the dollars goes directly into serving those in need. Hey, until next year for Inside Track, for my partner,
Ebb Wilkinson,
and from Bruce Ash, wishing you a very good afternoon.